Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Actually Comics. My name is Tristan, and today I'm joined, as ever, by Bob.
Come on, Vogue.
Come on, Bob. and we're going to talk comics. We're not gonna dick around like some kind of dick around podcast. This isn't one of those things. This isn't one of those getting diverted by.
That was the
original
pitch of the podcast.
It was.
I was like, there was only the only at the time 5-6 years ago.
Yeah. God. Fuck.
That I was like, hey, we should do a podcast for your store. It was because I was listening to a lot of podcasts, and I was like, there's only one podcast about comics, which that dates itself. and it was so long.
Yeah,
it was called Serious Issues, that podcast.
Yeah.
It was 3 hours long, and because they read every comic.
Right.
There wasn't a
coming out that week.
No,
podcast.
There was no. The landscape hath changed. Anyway,
sure has.
Comics that are out this week.
And speaking of comics that are out this week, I'm gonna mangle this right off the bat because the first thing is a manga, and it is a thing called A Do. It's A hyphen Do.
Oh,
A Do.
I assumed it was A Do.
I mean, I think it probably is A Do.
I don't know. It looks very good.
Because
I actually wished I had picked it up. It looks gorgeous.
It looks
really good.
It's a weird thing. Like, I don't know if it's a parody of Akira.
Hmm.
Because it really has Akira vibes, and it almost seems like it's a comedic take on some sort of Akira thing. But either way, it looks great.
I picked it up. I flipped through it. The art is very cool.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
But one of my picks of the week this week... I have many.
Unsurprising.
Unsurprising. This Aliens comic rules.
It's pretty cool.
Oh my God,
it's
so good.
If you're going to get someone to high concept an Aliens what if comic,
yeah.
It might as well be Paul Reiser.
It might as well be Paul Reiser. And this is Paul Reiser writing Aliens What If Carter Burke Lived.
Pretty cool.
And it's funny. I don't want to spoil the whole thing, but you kind of have to. If you're going to hook anybody on this thing.
Mm.
But aside from like him living, it's if they do it right, they literally explain Alien 3, which I think is fascinating.
So it's a series. It's not just a one shot.
It is a series.
Okay.
So I don't know how many issues, but this is the first of at least one other issue.
Nice.
And cause it does end on a cliffhanger and there's a moment.
I told you I didn't actually read it.
But there is a moment in it that is basically like would explain how Newt, Hicks, and Ripley wound up on a nearby planet as opposed to going where they were supposed to at the end of Aliens.
Cool.
That part is super clever if that was their plan. And I listened to an entire podcast about Alien 3. I listened to the Blank Check podcast where they were talking about it, and I was like, I'm going to try to embrace
this
movie.
That's a David Fincher one.
Yeah,
the
movie that I hate more than any other Alien movie, and I have rants about it forever. But you know what? I might even be coming around on it.
Ooh.
Because it's such a fuck you to the audience that it is almost hilarious. It's such a 90s like, oh, you like the little girl? She died horribly. Oh, hey, look, we're going to introduce a dog in the first act. Guess what's going to fucking happen to that dog? Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I hate you, audience. It's like, you know what? You got to respect that to a certain extent.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, this Alien book, if you have any love for Alien, do it. It is so worth it.
It does look very cool.
It's so
it was intriguing to me as a person who forgets the details of every single movie he ever watches. And I was like, oh, Paul Reiser. I remember him now.
Oh, and it ties into the Mad About universe, which is great.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that whole Snow Globe universe with the autistic from St. Elsewhere or whatever the fuck show that was.
Yeah, Helen Hunt dies in the first two pages of this book. It's terrible.
Oh, man, it's tragic.
She totally deserves it. Anyway, we got a reprinting of the Amazing Spider-Man Epic Collection, Secret of the Petrified Tablet. That is, of course, that...
That's really specific.
Well, I mean...
Petrified Tablet?
It's weird, because if it was a tablet, it's petrified to begin with. But you know that thing, the thing that Silvermane was looking for in the... No,
it's a blind spot for me, man.
Oh, weird. Anyway, doesn't matter.
I'll take a look.
Avengers 11 is out.
It has Jarvis on the cover.
I do like that. I did not like read that. It, but...
And they got that artist that I hate from Fantastic Four is now the artist of Avengers. I'm like, he's not driving Fantastic Four. I know. Actually, I think the art is better on Avengers than it was on. It's just like, I just hated the Thing so badly that like...
You have very specific tastes.
I have
in
Thing
the way
criteria,
that... yeah,
but
you do.
Really, it's pretty basic. Like, just please draw his head like he has a neck. Like, that's really the only thing. Just, like, he needs to have some kind of...
Interesting.
Neck.
Okay. I'll give you that. Okay, here
is... just a ball on some shoulders.
Here is the biggest surprise for me.
Oh.
Of probably of the week. Because I saw this. I saw it solicited. Huh. And I was like, this thing can go suck every dick in the world. I need... more early Batman stories. Like, I need a fucking hole in the head. Ooh, how did he meet Commissioner Gordon? I don't care. I've seen it 5,000 times, and we literally get the origin story of him meeting Commissioner Gordon in this
Except
book.
Except, not really. I mean, yes, really, but like not
really.
Like not continuity. It's like a Elseworlds.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah,
but
it's not like a Batman continuity story of how he met Commissioner Gordon.
Even if he was like, even if he was the Green Lantern and Superman combined into a thing, and he was living in a box under a fucking some kid's bed, and then he met Commissioner Gordon, I'd still think of it as an origin story.
Okay.
But now I say this, loved this fucking comic.
Yeah, it's good.
Loved it. I was so into this, and it did not do any of the things that I thought it was going to do. And it did do the thing where he literally meets Gordon for the first time. There are some little things, but it's great. And there's an homage as the last page that I was like, you gotta be shitting me. What a great idea. An homage to a cover by Neil, what's his name? Whose name just eluded
me. I gotta look
me.
At
Thank
it.
You.
I honestly, I knew I would enjoy this after flipping through a few pages, so I didn't.
And I literally, that is very upsetting that my brain just shut down and I can't. Who is the Batman artist named Neil? Oh my God.
Are you talking about Neil
Thank
Adams?
Thank you, Jesus. Sorry, I was just having tip of the tongue phenomenon.
Neil.
It was not that I did not know who Neil Adams was.
Man, I was going to try to make a Mighty Boosh reference, and I forgot his name.
But the last page is totally like a reference to that. I can't mention it, but yeah. But an awesome cover.
The thing about this one for me is that I knew Dan Jurgens was the gray area for me, being the writer.
That was one of the few things that I was like, okay, this makes me hopeful.
I knew I would like the art because Mike Perkins is amazing. This is the guy who drew The Stand just is very, very good. Very, very good. So I knew art-wise it would be good, and I thought maybe this story could be cool, and I reserved judgment, but like within a couple pages of flipping through it, I was like, I definitely want this. Yeah. Like, for sure. Like, it looks cool, and it's basically, it's like Flapper-era Batman.
Yeah.
You know, or like 1939 Batman, you know?
And they
it's
go,
set in 1939.
They go out of their way to draw him with the purple gloves.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think... I understand from like a fan service perspective, he definitely looks like he's wearing like nitrile gloves, like he's Jello Biafra or something. Like, it's kind of weird. It's like, he just got done doing some weird sexual thing, or like is a professional.
But you have to put yourself in a world that is almost 100 years ago realize that like the shit that he wears now didn't exist.
Oh yeah, yeah.
At that time,
of course. I think it's awesome.
Oh, excuse me.
Okay, so Batman Scooby-Doo Mysteries.
It's cool.
I mean, this book is great.
Yeah, it's cool.
If it is
your thing in any way, it's already getting
you're
it.
So
and
happy.
If you're like, oh, I think this could be cool, trust us, it's cool.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's not like I'm not buying it, but like, it's great. Yeah, also, it's still $2.99.
True. If you wanted a Batman Scooby-Doo book, you're never going to get a better version of it than this.
No.
It's just so good.
It's good.
Black Clover number 34, the manga. Cool. We have Blue Beetle number 7.
Wonderful issue of Blue Beetle.
Of course you thought so.
No, did you? I mean, you saw what it was.
Yeah.
It's a tribute to the late, great Keith Giffen. It has, I mean, not just because it has Ambush Bug in it and like other characters that I love. Yeah, yeah. Honestly, I hate Booster Gold, so like he's
That's
a huge
true.
Part of it. But it is a tribute issue to Keith Giffen, and it is worth getting and checking out. And the variant cover is not the best Kevin Maguire cover I've ever seen, but if you ever wanted a variant cover that had Ted Kord and Amish Bug on it, now's your chance.
It's pretty funny.
You're getting this one or you're getting nothing.
It's pretty good.
It's okay. There's no background.
No,
it's
no,
just
no.
Two figure drawings that are kind of shakily drawn quickly. Like, yeah. I'm sure he had, like, they were like, we're doing a Keith Giffen tribute. Do something for us. Yeah, and he just, you know, fired something out, you know?
Yeah,
because he's still, like, with it enough that, like, he's doing good art. Like, it's but, like, whatever. It's fuck. Oh, sorry.
It's awesome.
It's great. And honestly, the A cover is really great, too.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's great. It's Blue Beetle is lost in the time stream. Ted Kord is lost in the time stream, and Booster Gold and Jaime Reyes are searching for him, and they go to various eras of the timeline, and they go to, like, the Natasha Bustos draws the Justice League International, like Black Canary with the weird wing costume, and, like,
I'm trying to think of where, like, I know her from.
She just drew that 6-issue Fire and Ice series.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And she created Moon Girl.
Yep.
Yeah.
As I've said a million times, my recognition of names is so poor.
Yeah, I'm very psyched that she's taking over Harley Quinn.
That is awesome.
Like, I'm looking for excuses to buy that.
Perfect choice for Harley Quinn.
Yep. Keep Sweetie Boo on the covers and then just do that is what they should
be doing. That is so good.
Anywho, the Blue Beetle was really good.
Yeah, we have Captain America number 7 that no one is buying.
So you skipped Beyond Real.
Oh, yeah,
which
we
is
did.
Very cool.
It is cool, yeah, yeah.
And you also skipped Birds of Prey, which is also very cool.
Yeah.
Both books I purchased and brought home.
Yep.
Like them.
Crave.
Crave is the one about eating food. Or eating people or something.
It's the one about an app.
Oh, it's
on
an
your
app.
Phone.
But it's something about eating.
Is it?
I think so.
I mean, I've read a couple issues and I haven't seen anything about that, but
no. What is the app? It is Crave.
The app
is
called Crave, and isn't it
about an eating app?
It's making people crazy and doing stuff.
Oh, makes people crave things. So it's not just food.
It's like granting wishes or something. I can't remember.
I have a friend that really likes it.
Maria Lovett stuff is like very. It's a little amorphous. This is one of the better written books, and I honestly can't remember what was going on in it.
Yeah.
So
I assumed it was about food and therefore not interesting to me.
I read like issue 1 and 2 and I was like, okay, this is better than I remember her other stuff being.
Nice. The art's cool.
Again, not better. It's more, it's easier to understand.
There you go.
Let's say. Okay, so we have the D&D 5th edition compendium of Dungeon Crawls, which is super cool.
Nice.
This is the this is basically a bunch of old school D&D stuff reimagined as 5th edition stuff. It's super cool. Daredevil Gang War number 4 is out.
For some reason after Gang War ended.
Yes. because they just were delayed more than something else. Dark Souls Willow King number 2.
Dead by Daylight.
Yep, another video game thing, Dead by Daylight. And a reprint of Detective Comics 411.
I forgot to look at what is special about this issue.
Wasn't this the first appearance of Ra's al Ghul? It is. I already know it is. Ra's or Raz or whatever you want to call him.
Ooh, art by Bob Brown and Dick Giordano.
Oh.
I love Bob Brown. Classic Challengers of the
I
Unknown
love Dick
artist.
Giordano.
I like Dick Giordano. I love Bob Brown.
Interesting.
Bob Brown is an unsung master of comic form.
So is Doctor Strange.
True.
He's magical.
Yes.
And he's out in issue number 13 of his series. Dungeon Friends Forever, volume 2, the manga. And of course, Johnny Ryan's Fat Cop is out.
Nice. I didn't see that.
If you were looking for...
His new graphic novel. It's supposed to be really good.
I mean, I would say that good with Johnny Ryan is always
it's supposed to be really good Johnny Ryan.
Right.
Like, back to form.
Exactly.
Back to, like he's been kind of, I don't know, I think he's been kind of funning it in for a little bit.
I mean, he's been doing stuff, like, it was almost like he was doing stuff specifically for his Instagram to get banned for a while, where he was just like, I'll just keep doing one panel offensive things until they ban me from Instagram.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's almost like his whole deal. He is just he is the most pushback against everything. He's like, he's proof that you can live a life where no one can cancel you. Because true. People still are friends with him and people love him. And it's just like, wow, how do you get away
with this? People are still friends
with
R. Crumb.
That's true.
Not probably not too many people, but, you know.
I mean, I honestly
people
don't.
Still defend, like, they still teach R. Crumb in college.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, because his comic art is amazing. And, I mean, and also, it's historically, it
he's
is
talented.
He's incredibly talented, and it represents it's like saying, oh, I don't teach about the Nazis in World War II, because they were bad guys.
Sure.
It's like, yeah, he's an asshole, no, he's a monster, but he is an artist from this time period.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you should teach people how to behave like him or that they should be racist.
True.
But you can't ignore racism and all this other stuff.
I mean, you're preaching to the choir with me.
I know, I'm just... It bothers me because
I'm just saying if R. Crumb isn't getting canceled, Johnny Ryan isn't getting canceled.
Although
he pushes it a little
bit.
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe yes. Maybe no.
How many panels of people shitting in other people's mouths has R. Crumb ever done?
Yeah, but like is shitting really that offensive? Like I think that there. If I was going
to
pick,
I don't
the
need
most
to describe the rest of Johnny Ryan's oeuvre that would get him canceled. So I'm gonna just
Johnny
back
Ryan
off.
Is just basically like a Tijuana Bible in alt comics form.
He's basically the disturbed child in the back of the classroom drawing things in a notebook that the teacher just, you know,
honestly,
like,
if he did less shitting, I would probably like him more. It's the obsession with shitting.
Yeah, my problem is that he doesn't do enough.
Oh.
Yeah, that
not
was
enough shit.
That really broke me. I was like, look at this. He could have fit at least five more turds in
this entire panel. Comic could have just been people shitting. Just Mickey Mouse shitting the entire time.
Yes. Anyway, Fire Force Omnibus Volume 9, manga Gargoyles Dark Ages number 6.
Mm.
And giant-sized Spider-Gwen is out.
Yeah. These giant-sized, I think, is kind of, I don't know.
Cheap crap.
Like, I like that they have a giant size, and I like that one of the stories is original, but,
I
like, this whole, I realize that, like, but, like...
Nobody wants these reprints.
I don't know. I mean...
Nobody's happy to see a reprint. Nobody. Nobody picks this up and is like, thank God they reprinted this issue
It's weird because there seems to be an insatiable desire for facsimiles.
Well,
and yet reprints... Like, for me, a reprint that I want is...
I don't want a comic that came out 3 years ago reprinted in
that's
the back
true.
Of
that's
a comic.
That's true. It's like a Robbie Rodriguez...
Spider-Gwen's 6 years old as a character. It's
Yeah, exactly. It's not like a... Yeah.
That's bonker news.
Yep.
But anyway, it's out. Godzilla Best of Destroyer is out. And Golgotha Motor Mountain Number 1 is out.
I found this one interesting.
It is interesting. I described it to Bob before we started as what if Color Out of Space was a meth story, and it basically is that.
Yeah, it's like if you combine Death Race and Color Out of Space.
Yep.
And Breaking Bad.
Yes.
Sort of.
That is it.
There's a lot of meth in this comic.
There's a lot of meth, but the meth is...
The meth is demonic.
The meth is definitely a Lovecraftian catalyst for...
Something goes wrong
for
with
the meth. For Cronenberging.
Yeah. But there's a cool... the art's very good, and the design is cool, and it was an interesting comic. If any of those things are like, ooh, that sounds cool, then you should definitely get it.
Yeah. Green Arrow Volume 1 trade paperback is out. I love... this current run of Green Arrow. If you've been hankering for classic feeling Green Arrow, hearkening back to the era that I loved the most, which was the Kevin Smith era. That was my favorite era of Green Arrow. If you like that, this loves that era.
Yeah, if you're a Longbow Hunters person, you're not wanting
this. You're not
going to. Because it's pretty cosmic for Green Arrow.
Yes.
But it does have... like a great sensibility, and I enjoy it.
And also, but even past that, it harkens back to the Hard Traveling Heroes version of him, where he is he has that same personality, where he is the pushback liberal to a fault, to the point where you're like, dude, give it a rest. But he's like, but
The only thing it doesn't have that the classic for me
doesn't have a foil.
No, it doesn't have him shedding a tear at the end.
Oh,
because that was like the classic. It's like every classic Green Arrow story has him shedding a tear in the final
panel.
That's
funny. I was thinking that he doesn't have a foil, which is the thing that I like.
Well, they're fixing that in the future.
Good.
So
he needs.
You'll be happy.
He needs a.
I've read
like,
the solicits.
He needs a Republican. Right next
to
him.
Oh, you're saying like, he needs like a Hawkman.
He needs a Reagan era Republican to stand as a counter to his thing. And they both need to go at it where like they're, you know, each of them is trying to teach the other a lesson, which I don't think it stands alone because without.
I don't know if you're going to get that.
As much as I love this, I also like him more when he can yell at people for, you know, he can call people on their bullshit, especially like the JLA and all of the big guys, the Batman, like his interaction with Batman is always one of my favorite things in a JLA story. Grant Morrison did that amazingly well. It's a classic for me. It's my Green Arrow. Anyway, Harley Quinn Volume 3 trade paperback, The Verdict is out. King Spawn number 31. Apparently, I'm still getting King Spawn. I didn't know that I was. Kneel Before Zod number 3.
Much, much better than a Zod comic.
I know.
Has any right to be.
I like this.
Honestly,
book,
I gotta
I don't
say,
know
like,
why.
It's in the same way that like I used to hate Alex Ross and like everything Alex Ross does. Like now, I like.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like getting there with Joe Casey because like everything
Weird.
He's doing right now, I like.
Huh.
Dutch is great. Kneel Before Zod, like I'm not buying it, but like it's good.
We are hot on the heels of that cop comic that he did though, that was really unreadable.
Yeah. I'm just saying that, like, I think Joe Casey has figured something out. Like maybe I don't know.
I think you're right. I definitely think that he has stepped up.
Ed Piskor is the Joe Casey of today.
I think you're right. I think so too. Last Mermaid.
Did you read this?
I did. I read it before. I liked it.
It's cool. It wasn't like it wasn't a bring home for me, but like it's cool.
I think that it is.
I like the concept.
I think that it's undone by the cover. I think the cover.
The cover is murky and does not sell the concept of it at all.
It is really
you're
sad.
Absolutely right.
Because
I wouldn't have known
this color range looks like a Luna Brothers comic. It made me think.
Oh yeah, like, that wasn't so like, much even for me. The fact so this comic is about a post-apocalyptic world. There's a mermaid. She's the last one. It's the title, and she has this robot
suit. She has a mech suit
that has water in it that like gets like
toxic
as and so it needs to like so she's like. But, like, if you look at the cover, you see the mech suit, but to see that there's a mermaid in that suit, you have to, like, you need a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't sell the concept. All she has a little sea monkey that lives in her suit with her.
It's crazy.
It's cool. The art's really cool.
I mean, axolotls are hot right now, so she's got an axolotl that floats around in her tank with her, and they're both, so... I think this was also kind of genius because even with, I mean, aside from the fact that, you know, the Disney always have an animal with you kind of thing always works. But in this instance, you don't know this character well enough with the story that they're writing to, like, I don't know that I would instantly be all that devastated by their death, but having her in danger and knowing that she's going to kill this talking axolotl at the same time, I was like, oh, those are stakes that I understand instantly.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I like this person because we've all met people and we know that there's a huge percentage of them that would probably be better off dead. So, so the fact of the matter is that when you see an animal and you know that it's sentient and it seems like a good creature, you're like, oh, fuck, I don't want to see this thing die.
Yeah.
And so I think that was a good idea.
But it's basically a little mermaid in a post-apocalyptic wasteland with a mech suit.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
And the art's cool, and the format is weird. The one thing, actually, is a little weird about it is
I read it digitally first and had no idea it was going to be in this format.
It's not tabloid size, but it is sort of square.
It's almost record-sized.
Yeah. It's like 10-inch single.
Yeah,
comic.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah,
it was cool. It's someone's jam, and it was interesting. I have a question about there's a comic that maybe we skipped, but maybe is under T for the.
Oh, what? What is it?
It's The Fog.
Hmm.
That seems like maybe a pretty big one.
Oh, maybe it is under The Fog. Yeah, it might just because of the way that this got listed. Right. Let's talk about The Fog right now.
The Fog is number one.
There is a comic book sequel to The Fog out this week from Massive. I'm going to say that it is my job to sell people comic books. And but it is also my job to tell people when they're not great. And I will tell you, if you love The Fog, you're probably going to grab it just because it literally, one of the characters is John Carpenter, which is weird.
Huh.
It's literally present day John Carpenter in the comic. They don't call him John Carpenter, but he is very clearly John Carpenter. Nothing happens in this book.
Yeah, it's definitely all set up.
And worse
than
that,
the fog doesn't start until the end.
And does it even start? I didn't see any.
Yeah, it's like some clouds.
Yeah, it's like clouds. And more than that, there's nothing supernatural. And being a huge fan of the movie, I can think of just off the top of my head, 10 things you could have put in this book to make a cliffhanger ending that would have piqued the interest of any reader. And I will tell you the one that you expect it to be, which I would have expected if I had written this book, there's no way I wouldn't have had them find the piece of the fucking boat wash up on the shore. It's like the most important plot point of the movie. And instead they're like, it's a guy in a hood. Who? No, I don't know who it is. I don't fucking care about this person. It's not a very well-written comic.
Mm.
I'm sorry.
The art's okay. It did not grab me as a casual fan of The Fog.
As a diehard fan of The Fog.
I mean, I think that the bar is higher for a diehard fan than
it might
for a
be.
Casual
fan. I think
fan.
You might be right. And it did. It just bummed me out. It just felt like a missed opportunity. Mm. And that said, Massive, the next time you want to reboot a fucking horror property, talk to me. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Massive, you freaking dinks.
Freaking dinks. Let's see. Mighty Marvel Masterworks.
And Love Everlasting.
Oh, and Love. Sure. apparently Love Everlasting is still going.
Yeah.
I haven't read a single issue of it. I don't know. It just never appealed to me.
It's Tom King.
Baby.
Yeah.
Baby.
Everybody loves that guy.
Well, these Masterworks, they're mighty, they're Marvel, etc., etc.
Ah, yes.
And Miss Marvel, the Mutant Menace.
I know, the title is weird, but did you read it?
The title for the champion of alliteration this week is Miss Marvel, Mutant Menace.
Did you read it?
I didn't, I should have.
There's a debut New Mutant in it, who I actually enjoyed and would like to see again. I don't get the, like, it's like that thing where, like, they're trying to make the Inhumans, like, a big deal. And, like, you know, like, where I'm being metaphorical.
Oh, okay.
But, like, when Marvel is like, we don't want to put all our effort into the X-Men, so we're going to put all our effort into making the Inhumans, like, a big deal. And nobody really gives a shit about the mutants, or about the Inhumans. Yeah. But, like, nobody really gives a shit if Miss Marvel is a mutant or not. But Marvel is like, Miss Marvel is a mutant, and Jesus Christ, you give a fuck about this.
Yeah.
And I don't care, but this comic was fun. Of all of the Miss Marvel is a mutant, buy this concept extremely now. This one is the better of them.
Yeah.
And I liked it. It was a little too much comic for, you know, I don't know. Like, if you're buying more than one comic a month, maybe you're not going to grab this extra sized Ms. Marvel mutant comic. But the mutant that she meets in it is cool. He's like a plant mutant.
Cool.
And I like him.
Or
whatever it is.
I think it's, I think she works as a mutant better, and I think she's going to be, I think this is all cinematic universe nonsense. I think this is all
I mean, the weirdest thing for me is that if they want her to be more universally appealing to a casual audience, they should embrace what the movie is like and not the weird stretchy powers thing like the comic.
It is so weird because
it is such a bizarre aesthetic that they just are like, okay, like you fixed it in the movie. Like obviously the movie, the first thing the movie did was like, we can't have her stretch. That's too weird.
It's too weird. It looks strange.
It looks weird.
It looks weird in a comic. It's you barely like, see Mr. Fantastic use it.
Right.
Like they
like
bury
there's a reason
him.
Why that guy is like super smart so that yes. you can have him do science-y shit and not constantly watch him turn into a rubber band. You know, like, I mean, it works.
It works for Plastic Man, period.
It works for Metamorpho too.
Yes, it works because it works for Metamorpho because he basically he's the same type of
he's a metamorphous.
Well, he's very much amorphous. He's very much like Plastic Man in that he'll have his big weird face on whatever he creates and it's cartoony and silly whereas Mr. Fantastic is supposed to be a science hero and is like
Mr. Fantastic has gotten far away from what he was. You read those old Fantastic Four comics, like he does some weird, cool shit. Kirby has him doing weird shit, like that is cool and like it works. But it's like everybody else is just like his finger gets long or like his arm gets long, and it's just kind of like that's all he does. Like that's not really that big a deal. So Ms. Marvel, like I just like if you want to make that character more universally appealing, like you have to make her have those energy manifestations.
The nega bands.
Yeah, just something that's different. Like that's not just stretchy weird shit. Like,
and the nega bands are
kind of a whack power.
They're a fun cosmic thing that you can bring in from Marvel that's continuity and whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, this Ms. Marvel comic was pretty fun.
Okay. My Hero Academia Volume 37 is out. And the best comic this week named after a Dio song, Night People.
Nice. I thought Night People was good.
I thought it was interesting. This was a comic that basically like the solicits were all like, be careful. This is an adult comic. It's very upsetting and it's got sexual situations and murder. And it's like, fuck it. I've seen Marvel comics with this much blood and guts in them the last week.
Yeah,
it's like not really all that shocking.
I assumed it was a vampire comic, but I like that it wasn't.
I like that it wasn't too.
Like when I picked it up, I was like, "Oh, sharp teeth, night people. Okay, it's vampires, but not so much."
No, not so much. It is. It's a weird swing. I'm really curious to see where it goes.
Yeah,
I liked this issue quite a bit, and it is intriguing. I don't know how they're gonna make it work, but we'll see.
And the art's decent
because there's in small strokes there's a gigantic worldwide conspiracy going on in this book that is way bigger than you would expect for this type of horror comic, so I'm curious to see where it goes. Anyway, Pine and Merrimack number 3.
If you like Kyle Starks, you're already buying it.
Poison Ivy number 20. If you like Poison Ivy,
You're already buying it.
Rangers Academy, number 5. You're not buying it. Red Hood Outlaws, Volume 1.
Cool. Oh, that's like the...
It's
like,
Red... Yeah,
the thing the that, like, if the, yeah, like, it's if the comic one. Was like this, it might sell.
Yeah. It's not...
Because kids like this.
Right. It's not Red Hood and the Outlaws. This is Red Hood Outlaws. This is the one that had Bizarro on the team and ruled and was
it's Bizarro and Artemis, but it's like a original graphic novel for YA audiences, right?
Oh, it is. Oh, I thought this was just that series, but it is an original graphic novel.
It is an original graphic novel. Like, and I guarantee it will be popular because it's a cool, like it's a great.
And people love Red Hood.
Yeah, so. And people love Bizarro when he's done normally, like how Bizarro should be, which is just like this.
God, people
love him when he's done like Frankenstein, obviously, because that Ray Jason Aaron one is selling really well. But
I got to tell you, he is one of those characters that like whatever my particular mental tick is, he drives me crazy. And I cannot get past it because I basically have to, like, my brain wants to keep track of all the double negatives. And if you allow your brain to do it, you're just like, this makes no sense. Like,
the problem is it did make sense because there was a strict editorial control on how it was written.
Right.
And it always made sense. And then at a certain point, that stopped happening.
Yes.
And now there's like 24 different iterations of Bizarro and everybody has different rules and nobody does it the same way. And so now it's just fucking a zoo.
It is a zoo. I agree.
In my brain is a pitch to DC Comics that I will never make, but like, it's ready to go.
Yeah.
And it's a story featuring Metamorpho and Bizarro, and it would 100%. I don't know. It's good.
You know,
and it's all about how he talks.
I mean, that is because it does bother me to a certain extent when he's like, me not hate you. What?
What? Well, yeah, it's like it depends on how. I mean, we're talking about how we're going to be so strict to the point at the beginning, but like how he talks, it can't just be
everything is a negative.
The negative, yeah. It's not like if he talked the opposite of everything, he'd just be Zatanna, and everything would just be backwards. Like it's just like it's not. It's not that.
Nope.
And it can't be. But everybody is like, oh, hate equals love. You know, punch equals hug.
Yep.
These kind of things, and it's like it can be that, but it's not always that.
Yes.
If it's done
right,
the way it was traditionally done, but like it's kind of like a hodgepodge of like backwards intent, but also like baby speak.
Yes.
Which is like that super baby me pick up couch, me throw rock. You know, like it's that. You know, like when Bizarro says, you know, he's not saying the opposite of himself. He's saying me am, like that's in his syntax and his vernacular. And I have extensively thought about this and actually have
definitely more than 90% of DC writers who have been writing this character.
Oh, definitely. Mine is, and it's continuity based as well.
Interesting.
It springs off of a JLA Secret Files story featuring Metamorpho.
Of course it does.
I mean, of course it does. There's no, of course it does, because nobody read that fucking story.
You know what? You know what people do read? Rumorg magazine.
Nice. That's good. Awesome. They should read it.
They should. It's great. And also, they play with these Rubik's Perplexus hybrids because they hate themselves. I got these. I love them in theory because they're so crazy. But in practice, it would make me lose my fucking mind. They're like Rubik's cubes with puzzles inside them.
Ah.
So each part of the cube has like a rolling ball puzzle inside it. And it's just like, it really hurts my brain.
You know, a fun fact. This is a quick fun fact.
Okay.
Every Rubik's cube is, wherever it is, whatever Rubik's cube you pick up, it is 20 moves at most from solvable.
That's insane.
It's a fact.
Man,
I don't know how, but supposedly it's a fact.
That is interesting.
I read it on the internet, so it must be true.
It must be. Sensational She-Hulk number 6.
Yes, it's cool. She goes to space with the Jack of Hearts.
Of course. I really like the Ben Harvey variant for it.
Yeah, that's the
great
one I got.
That's a great cover.
I think so. That's it's
her walking off the subway.
Yeah. I love that cover.
That's a
great
cover.
Yeah, when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's the one I'm getting.
And speaking of comics that nobody reads, Sentry number 4 and Shazam number 9.
I got Shazam because it has the Creeper.
It does. I know.
Also, and not only does it have the Creeper, it also has Metamorpho, and he has a awesome moment in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's good. It's Mark Waid. I don't love the art. I wish, obviously, Mora had drawn it because I just really like his art, but the art's not bad. I just like, I wish I liked the art a little bit better. But that said, it is just, it's literally Shazam and the Creeper teaming up, and then there's just these two little Metamorpho zingers that are in it that are awesome. And clearly Mark Waid just like loves Metamorpho, and I love that. So, and it's Waid's last issue, and the next issue will be a new creative team, and it'll get canceled in a couple issues. The Sentry also, if you're like a Marvel, like I give a fuck person, there's a first appearance of a new character in it.
Interesting.
It's a version of the Sentry, but it has like they go out of their way to name the character.
Oh.
So it's probably going to be
probably
on some level,
I would imagine,
consequential to Marvel completists.
It is a key of some sort.
Of some sort. Minor key.
Yes.
It's a minor key. Hey!
Spectacular Spider-Man number 1 is out.
Did you like it?
I didn't.
Really?
I did not like it.
I thought it was cool.
I liked the art a lot.
The art was good. I loved the story. Honestly, I almost bought
it. Good. I'm glad that you did because it was not my thing.
Wow. I thought this would totally be your thing.
Interesting. Like, I like the guy. I think he's a decent writer. I think he just...
I'd never heard of this writer before.
He's the guy. He's written so much stuff. He's done a bunch of really good cartoon stuff. He did Gargoyles. He created Gargoyles. He did a bunch of the DC animated stuff. He did the Spectacular Spider-Man series for Marvel as well, the cartoon.
There's some really, like, the interplay with Peter and Miles is great.
I felt like the banter was overkill.
Maybe a little. It didn't bother me. Honestly, I thought it was cool. The thing that I didn't really give a shit about was the Jackal.
Yeah, yeah.
Is like more of a cerebral villain, and it was just more they might as well have been fighting the Hulk in this.
Yep.
But Shashan? Like, they brought Shashan back. Like, that's...
From where?
The 80s?
Yeah, I don't
like,
even know who that is.
It was Flash Thompson's fiance in the 80s.
Huh.
Shashan was a
ring a
was
bell a, for me.
Oh man, when they brought, I was just like, okay, this person's read the comics. Like, to me, there are like certain like things in it in a comic that I'm like, okay, this person's read the fucking comics.
Oh, sure.
And clearly this person has read the comics. I liked it quite a bit. I didn't buy it, but like I thought it was great.
This felt like to me somebody who was so desperate to write a Spider-Man comic that they like had a notebook full of quips and just wanted to throw them all together. And they felt clunky in that way that like sometimes when Joss Whedon tries too hard, it just clangs.
Wow.
And
this makes me feel like I did it wrong when I read it because I thought it was really good.
I'm feeling the same way. Like maybe I didn't give it enough of a chance. But the art, as always, is fucking phenomenal. So
it's done in a way where, like, they set up the premise of how they're going to hang out, which is a little meta, but I mean, that's Spider-Man these days. And then, like, it's told in, like, what it had that even the regular Spider-Man comic kind of doesn't really have right now, even it started to, but then kind of lost it. Is it has the hanging out at the coffee bean
kind of deal.
Like it has these are real characters with personalities that hang out and this is a reason why 100%. They do. And the supporting cast was really fleshed out. Mm-hmm. And there was some kind of like I said earlier, like some deep continuity dives a little bit with like characters that you haven't seen in a long time and like reasons for them to be there.
I might need to try it again to be honest.
I thought it was really good. Because like I almost bought it.
I don't think I gave this.
In fact, I probably should have bought it over the Ultimate X-Men comic that I did buy.
Yeah, that Ultimate X-Men comic, we'll get to it. Star Wars 44 is out. Star Wars Dark Droids trade paperback and D Squad. Of course, that is the Dick Squad.
The Dink Squad.
We've got Star Wars High Republic number 4, Phase 3, Part 6 of 7 of the 26th Codicil of Part 22 of
Star Wars.
Dude, Star Wars
High Republic.
Please stop making so many comics, is really what it is called. We've got. You know what? The more important thing that we got this week is the sticker book for Spidey and his amazing friends.
Oh,
cute. So you got a bunch of gigantic headed, adorable Spider-Man stickers in this book.
Nice. Good. I like things for kids.
Subgenre number 4 is out.
I like subgenre. I like Matt Kent and Wilfredo Torres.
We've got Superman 78.
Superman 78.
Every single time. That is number 5 of 6. We have the trade paperback for Superman Action Comics Volume 1, The Rise of Metallo.
Oh, that was actually a pretty good run of stories.
It was. I enjoyed that.
Worth checking out as a trade if you're so inclined.
TMNT, Saturday Morning Adventures, number 11. And hey, check it out. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Last Ronin 2, Re-Evolution, number 1.
They found another way to re-release this series?
To continue the series.
Oh, this is the continuation.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. This is Last Ronin 2.
Oh, okay.
So, which is...
But it's Last Ronin 2 Re-Evolution, which makes me feel like it's a reprint. So I didn't even look at it.
Yeah, that's fair. It's Re-Evolution in that Mike, I'm not going to spoil the first one in case you didn't read it.
Oh, is this the one with the new...
Whoever the original turtle was that was left over after everyone was killed, this is the baby turtles all grown up
from that last series.
So this is
it's like a new four turtle team, but different characters.
Let's call it Batman Beyond Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Edition.
Right on.
It is sort of a cyberpunky...
Is Ben Bishop involved in this project?
He is. He is nice. The main artist on this book.
Cool.
That is why every time I see him, he looks like he has just come off a 3-day bender.
Because he's up all night drawn?
It seems that way. Like, he and I are the last people to leave the fucking warehouse when we get out of there. So,
is that where his studio is?
Yeah, he used to be right next door to me. And literally, when I moved in to my studio, he moved out because he's afraid of me. He should be. He knows I've got it in for him. No, I do not. I love Ben. I actually wish I could hang out with Ben more often, but he is so fucking busy that I actually talk to his brother more than I talk to him. Luckily, his brother could tell me where to recycle cardboard yesterday because I was fucking lost in that building. anyway, that's Tales from the Coast City Warehouse.
From the warehouse.
Thanos, number four.
You know, honestly, I really thought the art was very strong in this comic. I hadn't even been, paying attention to it, and I just, picked it up today. I was like, oh, what's going on with Thanos? And I was like, oh, art's much better than... Like Avengers.
Why is he dressed like Taskmaster?
I mean, I think he's dressed like Death.
Oh, okay, sure.
But I honestly didn't make any sense of what was happening in the comic. I just thought the art was like they should have that artist drawing Avengers.
Nice,
basically.
I don't know if we just didn't get these comics in, or if we literally sold out of these. It would blow my mind if that was the case, but Tick Big Blue Destiny Complete Works sold out already.
Wow.
I mean, I love this. This Big That's Blue great. Destiny was one of my favorite Tick series that came after the first two. It was the first time there were a bunch of really mediocre Tick stories that kind of went in between there was the regular series that Ben Edlund did. There was Karma Tornado, which was okay. It was good. Karma Tornado was good. It was written by the guy that wrote the
Scud.
Venture Brothers.
Venture Brothers.
It's Jackson Publick who did Venture Brothers before he changed his name to Jackson Publick.
Interesting.
And that's why, I mean, he worked on the Tick. That's why all of the henchmen look like Arthur. You know, when you look at it, I was like, the first time I watched Venture Brothers, I was like, how are they getting away with making all of these things look like? And it's like, oh, Ben Edlund was an assistant in... producing the thing, and there's a lot of Ben Edlund influence. But Big Blue Destiny, Eli Stone was the writer for this one, and weirdly we had some sort of odd combination. Like, I was almost in a band with a guy that was friends with him, so I knew them way back, and it was great. Like, it captured the ideas of the Tick better than I think it's probably the third best Tick series is what I would say. I would say it pretty much goes original Tick, Karma Tornado, and Big Blue Destiny. So nice. Good stuff.
Well, unfortunately, it's sold out.
I will get it back in.
Nice.
We've got a third printing of Ultimate Spider-Man number one for those people who want to actually read it and aren't just trying to resell it on the internet. And we've managed to sell out of Ultimate X-Men number ones because... people bought it to sell it on the internet. But some people bought it because they like it. People like Peach Momoko.
It looked interesting to me, but unfortunately it was I think some got put out at the last minute because when I was in earlier, there weren't any for me to read. And then I came back and I was oh, here's Ultimate X-Men. And then I was like, I want to read it. So I just grabbed one before it sold out because I could tell it was going to. But now I kind of am like, maybe I should swap it for Spider-Man, and you can sell it to someone else.
Because it's really okay.
Or you could just keep it and sell it for $15.
I read this, and I was like...
You don't do that.
I don't hate it. I mean, listen, if you want to know the secret of how we deal with that moral quandary of dealing with expensive books, essentially what happens is we hold books aside usually... Like in something like this, we had literally 10 copies of this because I was like, Peach Momoko, it's not going to be as big as one of these other things because she has a very specific audience, blah, blah, blah. But because this thing heated up so much because of Black Panther and Spider-Man, then this thing got really hot too. Normally we would not sell very many copies of this book. And so we wound up selling out. But if we have an instance where we've bought 50 copies of something and we've sold to all of our customers and everything goes out, we will set aside, say, 20 copies, keep selling to the scalpers, to everybody else, make sure that all of our customers have them, set 5 copies aside for people who ask for them behind the counter, and then sell the rest of them on eBay if they do turn out to be expensive issues. But we wait a week before doing that so that we can actually have people who want to read the comic get the comic.
That's cool.
But after 1 week passes, we're like, fuck this. I'm not just going to... If somebody's going to make the money on eBay, it's going to be me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to just be like, here, scalpers, take 10 copies of this to just dump on eBay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's no, like, this is stupid.
Doesn't make sense.
It makes literally no sense. They don't give a fuck about my store. They don't give a fuck about me. I've got 5 customers that... customers that literally are just like, I'll take 10 copies of X $50 book for $3, please. And I was like, go fuck yourself, dude. Like,
yeah,
some of those people, unfortunately, oh, I don't want to tell the secret of how you avoid that, but so we have a limiter on our website that makes it so that you can only buy 2 of a comic, and there's a way to get around it. And some people have found it. And we might have to just cancel our account with the thing that I'm talking about, because it is really irritating when somebody buys 8 copies of a hot book off the website. It's just like, who are you? Have you ever bought a comic that you read? No, you don't read them. Like, that's a bummer. It just, yeah, it bums me out as somebody who, like, the whole point of this store for a long time was like, get people to read comics. Comics are fun. Read comics. And now, like, the scalpers have really taken a big chunk of my love of this industry.
Capitalism.
I mean, capitalism, anytime money comes into something, it makes it sad.
Yeah.
And comics got popular in the collector market for a while,
and they also got scarce. I mean, the other thing is that now there's an actual scarcity. Yeah,
yeah, it's true, because shops keep closing, and so it's like,
yeah,
there's a scarcity. Anyway, it's a good book, but it is, like a lot of Peach Momoko stuff, it's very simple, and the story is like it almost reads like a picture book. Because, I mean, again, yeah, she doesn't speak English, so she's not writing the dialogue.
It's interesting to me, but I think ultimately it does lack a narrative. Like, you know, I mean, it's basically the story is character has powers, character is persecuted, is doesn't know what to do, and I guess at some point is going to be hunted down. Or
yeah,
whatever,
I mean, you're talking about literally the most absolute simple bare bones version of an X-Men story you could possibly tell. It is literally 20 pages of this person existing, and then powers manifest, the end, essentially. But, you know, fine. It was good enough. Although
her art
is amazing.
And I like that it doesn't start with, like, here's Cyclops.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, it's starting with armor is
we're
the character.
With armor, yeah.
And it looks like there's going to be just new characters, and I like how different it is.
I do like how different armor's powers are from her uncanny version.
Yes.
I think,
like,
I
there's
think
things
the choice,
that work.
And there's a lot of Junji Ito influence in what she's doing in this one. And there's a lot of, like, little horror touches that I like quite a bit.
Yeah, it's definitely more of a horror style book.
There's
to me
the moments of it, like, it reminds me of, this is going to ring a bell for one person listening, maybe, it reminds me of 3x3 Eyes, which was an 80s
Viz. Yeah, I remember
thing.
The title. I don't
like it has it. It has that kind of, like, or Psychic Girl Mai, or like one of those, like it reminds me of,
I can see that actually.
Mai,
that's
the Psychic Girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it really has that kind of feeling of an 80s manga.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't feel like modern manga. It feels like like something that Rumiko Takahashi or some one of those kind of people would have done, like a like Mermaid's Tears kind of story. I love those. And so if going into that, that was what I was expecting, this would have been a great book. But I was going in being like, oh, awesome, an opportunity to restart the X-Men and do fun things with my X-Men characters that I so love. And this 100% isn't that.
Yeah.
It is as though it's, this might as well have been called anything else. Like, you literally could have called this.
I mean, honestly, it's really more of a New Mutants.
It feels like a New Mutants comic. You should have fucking called it New Mutants.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and honestly, if this had been called New Mutants, I would have liked it 100 times more. This feels like the Demon Bear saga.
I'm going to go say I like it, and I'm not.
No,
like, I just need to see where the storyline is going before I decide whether I like it enough to collect it. I like the ideas behind it. I do wish it had a little bit more meaty story than what it does have, which is basically just kind of like someone is scared and the end.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I really ran it down, which is very wrong, because I do think this book is very good. It just is not what I was expecting. It was such an out of left field. I mean, obviously, if you know Peach Momoko, you know what it's going to be like. So to expect it to be, you know, an in continuity feeling like X-Men book is probably asking too much.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't know. I like that. I like that it is divorced from what you expect an X-Men
Fair
comic
enough.
To be.
You know, and that
that if, is interesting to me.
I agree. You know what? I think you're right. And you know what? I also think that, weirdly, I think that the main cover should have been the one that they're calling the Peach Momoko variant, which is a much better cover. And also looks exactly like My the Psychic Girl. Like, it looks exactly like the My the Psychic Girl
cover. Is
that this one? No, that's the main cover. This is the My the Psychic Girl cover.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah,
like,
for sure.
Like, it literally just looks like... Yeah. It's pretty great.
Interesting.
It's weird. It's like... Okay, anyway. We've spent too much time
on
it.
Yeah,
yeah. It's fine. You'll like it. There are still variants. So the main cover is sold out, but there are plenty of variants left over.
Nice.
There are literally 6 other variants that you can buy.
Oh, wow.
Under Heist number 2 is out. This was an okay book.
Yeah, I remember the first issue being interesting.
Yeah,
I didn't read this one.
It's David Lapham, so unfortunately for the kind of stuff that we do here, it's a little too verbose to really give it the time that it needs for us to percolate on it. So I'm sure it's great. He doesn't really do crap, so I would say it's probably great. Venom number 31. Also, oh my god, that B cover is disgusting and awesome.
I didn't see the B cover.
I think we only had a couple copies of it, so it's behind the counter. It's literally just a human face being devoured by rats.
Gross.
It's pretty gross. I love it.
I will say, I think that they should have taken about 3 issues to undo what Donnie Cates did to Venom and just had it be a Venom comic instead of like spending 2 years doing that.
Yes.
But other than that, it seems like they're starting to figure it out.
Yep, I agree. I think they're finally starting to get back to something.
Been like,
enjoy.
You know that King in Black thing? That was just a weird dream.
God, if only it was just like it was all a dream.
That thing where Venom somehow was the most powerful fucking thing in the universe.
I just don't
compared
want it
to Phoenix. It's almost as dumb as that Defenders comic where they did it with Tigra. It's just kind of like, I'm sorry. Like, I loved it. It was great, but like, geez, no, I'm sorry. Tigra is not a cosmic character.
Well, we got Void Rivals number 7.
Yep.
We've got a deluxe Walking Dead number 84.
So deluxe.
And here's another surprise for this week.
Weapon X-Men. Yeah,
it's
fine.
This is a book that I would have, in the description, I looked at it when it was solicited and I was like, if I could order 0 of these and no one would complain, I would do it. I was like angry. Like, the literally when you say basically... The solicit basically could have been like, get into the Wolverine-iverse. Fuck!
It's very much the Wolverine-iverse.
It is and it isn't. And the reason I like it is because it isn't just like, let's do every single version of Wolverine that could possibly exist and make IP for Spider-Wolverine or whatever. It's not that. Instead, it's she literally, Phoenix is trying to save the world, and so she takes the least important Wolverines, the ones that won't make any impact on their worlds, by having them taken out. So literally there's like four Wolverines that there's aren't like
one,
going to...
My favorite one is Fat Wolverine from Earth-X.
Is Earth-X Wolverine, who is like, his healing factor's gone. He's got a huge pot belly.
He's tired all the time.
He's exhausted and he's out of breath all the time. There's one-handed Wolverine from Age of Apocalypse.
Which I would argue is a more important Wolverine, but...
I mean... After a certain point, it no longer is.
Yeah, I guess. The thing that I didn't dig for this is the zombie Wolverine. I just like, why, like, this is the second time that they've done something where they put like a zombie character on a team, and I'm like, why would you put a zombie on your team? Like, this is the dumbest possible idea.
So dangerous.
Yeah, it's like, what could possibly go right?
What could go
about having this character on your team?
In defense of
that,
they
did do a thing where it was like, here's a bunch of Phoenix energy, and he's like, oh yeah, now I don't need to eat flesh.
Yes.
So, okay, like, at least you did that. But, like, I'm sorry. Like, I would have much rather had, like, Wolverine from What the? Or, like, that baby Wolverine from Exiles. Remember that shit?
Yes.
I fucking love that guy.
Oh, my God, that little cartoon.
Oh, he was so great. I loved little Wolvie.
It would not have fit the tone of this book. I will say...
It was fine. It was
I will
fun.
Say that this book was fun. It was enjoyable. And I'm actually interested in reading the rest of it.
I love the Exiles concept as it has existed in the past. And some of my favorite Marvel books of recent memory, like last 20 years, have been Exiles books. I'm not sold on it all being Wolverines, but like, whatever.
Yeah.
It was
fun. No, I agree. But it worked for this storyline. And this storyline was set up by another Wolverine story that happened a while ago. So it's whatever.
Yeah, you don't need to know that.
You don't need to know in order to enjoy this. So X-Men number 32 is out. It's the return of Lockheed.
There was a great moment with Lockheed.
That's all that matters.
I mean, honestly, I am convinced that in the next 2 months that every single X-Men character will die. They will reboot the X-Men. And
I think you might be
when
right.
When Krakoa is over, it's because Krakoa is over and they're just going to reboot it. And it'll be like, here's the X-Men that have always been here the whole time. And they'll team up with Captain America.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, man.
Yeah. They've irreparably damaged the X-Men, and there's the only way they can get out of it is to reboot.
The thing about it is that, like, I understand, like, you know, you have to always take Bob with a grain of salt on these new X-Men books, but I will also say that this was a particularly bad issue of the X-Men.
There are good within this run.
There was almost nothing going on. Again, it wasn't really that it was a bad comic. It's just that there was, like, not a lot of comic there.
No, I mean, it all built towards that one thing where they're like, Lockheed's back, which I would have worried about spoiling, but you said it, so I'm not worried about
that. It's also on the cover with, like, it literally has a little circle with Lockheed in it. And it says, Lockheed's back.
Yeah. Well, there's, like, it's all Kitty Pryde and Ileana, and then Lockheed comes back, and they're like, hey, Lockheed, and they hug. But, like, I guarantee you what's going to happen is they're going to reboot the X-Men. Like, there's no way, because, like, this whole thing with Beast, where it's, like, the real Beast is back, and you're like, oh, yeah, the real Beast is back. Like, they're going to kill him. Like, he's dead. He's dead within a month. Like, he's gone, and there's no way that... The end result of this storyline is not, we went back in time, we killed Moira, and now the X-Men are on the 10th life, where things are sort of just like X-Men 97 again, and maybe there's a couple things from Krakoa that are, like, still left.
Oh, boy. You know, I hate status quo.
No, that's I would put into money it, on it at this point.
But I can't help it. I just love that version of the X-Men so much that would be a delight for me. Whatever. Anyway, there's also X-Men by Gary Duggan, Volume 5, and that is it. That's all. Them's the comics.
Yeah.
And so that's it. We'll get the plug-in things out of the way. Instagram. Plug. Coast City Comics, @ Coast City Comics, @ Actually Comics. At Dollar Binge.
At Dollar Binge. And if you aren't following At Dollar Binge and want to know what it's like, it's just look at that most recent Actually Comics post, which was definitely a Dollar Binge post that I put to the wrong account. But whatever, it was fine.
Yeah, that is fine. And that's it.
Because there's really good dollar books right now.
Yeah,
into the store.
My
there's
God.
Great dollar books right now.
I am dumping so much stuff.
You are putting stuff in there that I'm like, I'm I used to just get all the cool ones, and I was like, now it's like I can't justify buying this many comics. I'm leaving them. They're
the
still
the amount
there.
Of stuff that I'm bringing in every week. I'm pretty much sorting a minimum of a long box into the dollar bins every week.
I can minimum. Attest that this is true, and it has been awesome.
And some of it's really good stuff, and it's literally just like when I get on the website and I'm listing stuff and I'm looking at the hundreds of untouched long boxes surrounding me on all sides, and I see something and I'm like, well, this is a book from 10 years ago, and it's in very fine condition. No thanks, dollar. Yeah.
Well, the things that I've been responding to is just like these random like 60s books and stuff that you're putting in there. Like I bought a Mod Squad comic
some
today.
Good stuff. Yeah.
I bought almost the entire. I was like, I really want to recollect the Brett Blevins New Mutants run. I got almost all of them from your dollar bin.
And that's the other funny part is that my feelings about comics that are in very good condition.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's
like,
a few in there that are like, there's Golden Age books in there.
They're like,
they're not in great shape, but like.
If a book is in good condition, if it's a two, it generally winds up in the dollar bin. I'm bad about that. I just can't like.
There's some fun Disney comics in there.
And also
there's,
Disney comics.
Yeah,
I just don't
like,
give a shit about them.
Yeah, you can tell. Like, you have like sort of like a what I consider to be a blinder because like you think that certain things that like I consider to have some value, you're like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I'm like,
blinders are
like,
are on for.
You put a bunch of Ron Frenz Thor in there that I was just like, I can't even like.
Any funny animal stuff is go away.
Yeah. Like you.
Eventually, I'm going to be like, I'm going to give away a first appearance of Thor by accident because it's like, or I'm not Thor, Flash, or like one of those other ones that's in a funny animal book. That's just like, oops. Oh, was that the first appearance of Wonder Woman? Shit.
I don't think you would. There's any danger of you doing
that. I don't
think
there is.
But that said, there is really fun stuff in the dollar books, and it's worth doing a flip.
Yeah. Oh, it really is.
Very much.
Because I'm preparing for summer, and I know that the dollar boxes get really hit hard when I start putting stuff out on the street. So I want to prep a bunch of stuff. So I'm cranking up as much as I can get out there, and the stuff that's going on the website is cool too, especially like, I know this is weird, but especially if you're a fan of 90s comics, I'm putting stuff up that is taking me more effort than it clearly is worth. There are books that I'm putting up for like $2.50 a piece, but they're hard to find. There are things that like you just don't see, and I know because I've looked for them. Things like the last 25 issues of like a lot of books, honestly, like, I might have this out. I might not, I might be selling the whole run, but, I found a complete run of Excalibur. Complete.
Nice. Cool.
Every special.
It's a great comics,
but it has the last 25 issues, and I have never seen the last 25 issues.
Yeah, a lot of those, like, X-Men. Before they get canceled, and they kind of get scarce, and you don't really see them.
There's
that
weird, like, late 90s
like the final issue of Atari Force or something like that, where it's, like,
final
just, like,
issue of G.I.
It.
Joe, final G.I. issue Joe. Of Transformers. Like, all of those are so hard to find. But, like, so I'm getting these things, and I'm getting all these miniseries that I'm like, oh, yeah, remember there was a Colossus miniseries? Fuck it, I'm putting it on the website. This is cool. You know, like, nice. Those, like, late 90s X-Men things that, like, just didn't get a lot of love. So
check the website.
Check the website. It literally is my, like, it is at least a full-time job now for me to just put things on the website. I'm clearing a dollar, like, I'm clearing at least a long box of new material on the website every week that I'm listing. And I'm clearing at least a dollar, like a long box of dollar books every week. So check it out.
It's awesome.
Good stuff.
Love it.
Anyway, thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Rate and review and all that stuff. That would be great. But We will see you next week. Thank you for listening.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Bye.